Once again, I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. A warm welcome to one and all and those who have just joined us. We come now to the last chapter of the book of Hebrews. And God willing, I hope to study with you a couple of themes or subjects from this chapter. And to begin with, the first theme from this chapter is duty and blessing of Christian fellowship. In this study, we will also be referring to other portions of scriptures that contribute to this theme so that it will be made clear to us the divine authority behind this command to engage in Christian fellowship together as God's redeemed people, which is so lacking and in fact almost totally absent in many churches. Let's look at verse 1, Hebrews chapter 13. Let brotherly love continue. The text presents brotherly love, affection between believers. And here again, I must stress, we are speaking to believers, Christian believers. Affection between believers is an existing reality in the life of a Christian. It is part of the process of conversion. It is having that spirit of one heart and one mind in Christ together, a sense of being members of Christ's body, members of God's family. As Christian believers, we ought to have a natural inclination to be drawn to fellow believers. And the command here is to let this fellowship among believers to continue. It is something very strong in us, and it should be. When we were first converted to God, when we were born again, regenerated by the Holy Spirit, it is something that we feel in us. We have this in us. But this affection among believers sadly can be smothered. It can be lost. It is a family likeness, a family kingship. It's an overwhelming gratitude to Christ for salvation, which seems to include in it a tendency to recognize and a desire for fellowship and union with other believers of like-minded faith. It is a sense of oneness with fellow believers in Christ. Do we have that in our church? When we were first converted, we have a very high expectation of this fellowship. And then, coldness on the part of long-standing or maturing so-called Christians may shock us and alarm us, especially to Christians in young faith, whatever the age may be. When we see or we felt this coldness on the part of Christians or long-standing Christian in the church. And sadly, this happens in the church. And thus, there is a need for this command. And thus, we are given this command right now here in Hebrews chapter 13. Let brotherly love continue. Do not allow this Christian fellowship, this kingship with fellow believers, which is part of the conversion experience, to turn cold and be overwhelming by anything that is unworthy. We must not allow this to dwindle, to grow cold. We must not allow anything else unworthy to take over this gift of Christian fellowship. And so, first of all, we look at what is the basis of Christian fellowship? Why? As Christian believers, we have everything in common. That is the basis. We as Christian believers have everything in common. If you are in the family of believers, the family of God, we have common spiritual objectives, isn't it? Like holiness, fruitfulness for the Lord Jesus, fruitfulness in terms of souls, being led to salvation also, and good works, and learning and growing in grace and in knowledge of the Lord Jesus together. Are these not common spiritual objectives that we have together in Christ? These and many other spiritual things that binds us together as believers in Christ. We have in common that we are refugees from this world. Even for those young in faith with little knowledge of scriptures, when you meet a fellow believer, you know you have more in common than any other persons you have known for years in this world. You soon realize that both of you have the same perspective of life, same aspiration, same spiritual aims, same love for Christ, same spiritual hunger and thirst. If you are a true believer, you know that and sense that you have so much in common. Therefore, this is the basis of true Christian fellowship. However, like I said before, like all other spiritual gifts, it needs cultivation. It needs nurturing. If not, it will be lost when neglected. So let us consider some of the duties required of Christian fellowship, which will then promote solidarity and unity in the church. Let brotherly love continue. The words imply that there are forces at work to suppress it. And there are. We must recognize that. We must realize that and be watchful. There are forces or things that will suppress this Christian fellowship. There is a tide and storm in life trying to smother Christian fellowship and affection. First, let's turn to Proverbs 18:24. Please turn to Proverbs 18:24 as we use that verse to further help us understand Hebrews 13 verse 1. Proverbs 18 verse 24 says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that speaketh closer than a brother. We shall consider the first half of that verse. The word order in the Hebrews goes something like this. A man of friends must act as a companion. In simple term, it means he or she must be friendly, approachable, be interested in other fellow Christians. Of course, not a busybody, but be friendly. He or she must show himself or herself to be supportive of other believers, ready to take initiative and agreeable. It is opposite of being quick to fault finding and judging others. And this is surely one of the quickest and disastrous way to destroy Christian fellowship. Forgetting if we are being or having this spirit of being quick to fault finding and judging others, we have forgotten the words of the Lord Jesus in Matthew 7 and also Matthew 7 verse 3 and also Luke chapter 6 verse 41. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thy eye? So there are various bad habits that each one of us Christian people that has put people off, that must be repented of and pray for help to conscientiously mortify these bad habits. Proverbs 18:24, the first part. A man that have friends must show himself friendly. Are you a friendly Christian? Are you a friendly believer? Do you invite Christian fellowship, or are you one that is easily and quickly turn people off? Note the plural there, a man that had friends. Now this is unrestricted. What about you? Is your circle of friends, particularly among believers, among Christians, restricted to only one or a few? This is a sad fact and a shame in many churches among Christian people, that people are content to limit their Christian fellowship to just one or two familiar people, and in some cases, none at all. Another sad fact in the church is that there are those Christians who only ever talk or fellowship with those of the same age, or of the same background, or of the same ethnicity. And this is very sad indeed. It shames the name of Christ. But it is true. And such situation is increasing in churches, including ours. Let us not think that this is happening only in other churches. Let us not sweep it under the carpet, but be humble enough to accept, or rather recognize, that this is happening in our church, when we ought to consider it very carefully and to repent and to amend. And this teaching in Hebrews 13:1 is something we often do not pay much attention, and we treat Christian fellowship very lightly, very flippantly. Whereas when you consider these words carefully, let brotherly love continue. In simple sentence, just four words, let brotherly love continue. We have taken this very lightly. Actually, it is an injunction, a command. How do we know? Because that word continue in the Greek is in singular present active tense, and the mood is imperative. It is in the imperative mood. Therefore, to treat this command carelessly, to just read it over, gloss it over, let brotherly love continue, and that's it, is to treat this command carelessly. It is tantamount to despising God's command and shame his name. And so this is something believers have to consider carefully and ask ourselves, do I see fellowship with the saints or with fellow believers as part of my Christian duty? If you say or confess that you are a Christian, do I see fellowship with the saints, with fellow believers, as part of my Christian duty? Which is indeed, as this verse is teaching us. But of course, we ought also to be understanding and accommodating in some sense, in that we have to recognize there are truly people who are naturally shy or introverts, and they are just comfortable being alone and are not inviting to Christian fellowship. We must recognize that there are such people in the congregation who are true Christians, but naturally they are shy, or they are very quiet people. The reason behind this is perhaps their natural constitution, that somehow, for whatever reason we might not understand, they have difficulty to relate to any number of people. Well, on one hand, we ought to sympathize with such people or such brethren. On the other hand, we can also play a part to help them to understand this biblical injunction of Christian fellowship, and to encourage them to make an effort to cultivate this spiritual gift of Christian fellowship. Because, as I said, it comes with conversion. This ought to be the duty of Christian believers to one another, particularly to those who are lacking in this area. Why? This is essential for the spiritual well-being of believers, for the spiritual well-being and the testimony of the church. For first of all, It is the Lord's will that Christian believers are united in the Lord through Christian fellowship, as we have all things common in our Lord Jesus. Acts 2:24. We see this in the early church, how they come together and have all things common in the Lord Jesus. Acts 2:44. Furthermore, the Lord Jesus teaches us in John 13:34, a new commandment I gave unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. John 13:35. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have loved one to another. And so we see here that true and genuine Christian fellowship is the outcome of true and genuine Christian love for one another in the Lord Jesus. Just as food is essential for our physical well-being, so is Christian fellowship essential to our spiritual well-being and our Christian witness. And therefore, you may by your natural constitution be shy or introvert and have difficulty to relate to other Christians or invite Christian fellowship, you still have the duty to do so. Just as you needed food, so also you need Christian fellowship. And you ought to pray and ask the Lord to help you to cultivate that. Otherwise, you cannot say to be a disciple of Christ if you have no desire, no inclination of Christian fellowship, to be in the company of fellow believers, to support one another, to encourage one another. And as what we have studied in Hebrews chapter 10 verse 24, to consider one another, to provoke unto love and to good works. So therefore, brotherly love is a Christian duty. It is more than an exhortation from our Lord Jesus. It is a command. As a member of the body of Christ, I have a duty. I have to be in Christian fellowship. I have to make my contribution as Christian believer to the lives of other believers. This command has a blessing, even though it is not explicitly mentioned in the text. As you interact in true Christian fellowship, not gossiping, and that is why I put the word true Christian fellowship, because there are in many churches, as you know, and we say that it is fellowship, but actually it's a session of gossip and backbiting. So as you interact in true Christian fellowship with other believers, does it not over time bring about a blessing of bonding? A spirit of camaraderie, a spirit of closeness, does it not? And is this not a blessing from the Lord as fellow believers come together to enjoy this genuine friendship in the Lord Jesus Christ? We have to look at it as, this is my Christian duty. Even though I may be one of those who are not naturally constituted, it is not my nature to invite Christian fellowship. But, or however, I will pray. I will seek the help of the Lord through His Holy Spirit. I will make an effort, bit by bit, day by day, to cultivate and to improve this spiritual gift of Christian fellowship. Then we turn to another portion of scripture in Matthew 12:47. To further help us understand our Christian duty of promoting Christian fellowship. Matthew 12:47. I read. Then one said unto him, Behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. And of course, the one is speaking to Jesus. And then verse 48. But he, Jesus, answered and said unto him, and told him, Who is my mother? And who are my brethren? Verse 49. And he stretched forth his hand towards his disciples and said, "Behold, my mother and my brethren." Verse 50, "For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother." From these verses we ask, how do I see or how do I treat that man or that lady in our church community? How do I see or treat that man or that lady in our church family? As a believer, if you are one, do I see him or her respectfully as my mother or father in the Lord Jesus? Do I see or treat that lady or that man as my sister and brother in Christ? Christian believers are in the family of God. That's Bible language. That person should not be a total stranger to me. We have much in common as believers. We both have the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered and died for us for our sin on the cross and brought us together through that death into his family unit and into this local church. This is biblical language used in Christian family. The Apostle Paul similarly teaches us in 1 Timothy 5 verse 1. 1 Timothy 5 verse 1. And we have considered this also before in our study, our Bible study in 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy 5 verse 1. "Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren." Verse 2. "The elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters, with all purity." So the Apostle Paul is taking the words of the Lord Jesus absolutely literally. Christian believers are to see each other as relations in Christ the Lord. Then we turn also in the New Testament again, John 19:26. Please turn to John 19:26, and we will also be looking at verse 27. John 19:26. "When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by, whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son." Verse 27. "Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home." Oh, did you not see here such a heartwarming example of genuine Christian love and fellowship in action, which is so missing, if not altogether gone, in so many churches today, and even in our own church, New Life BBC London? Is it not true? Do you not see what a wonderful example, what a wonderful sample of genuine Christian love and fellowship that the Lord Jesus presented his mother to the care of John the Apostle? And this is first of all practical instruction for the Apostle John to take care of Mary, the mother of Jesus, and for Mary to fully accept and regard the Apostle John as her son. Secondly, this is also a model for us, the Christian believers, how we value each other, how we regard each other, how we care for each other and respect each other. So we have to think and consider carefully our duty and cultivate and promote Christian fellowship in the Church of Christ. And while we are still in the book of John, let us turn back then to John chapter 13 to 34 to 35. John chapter 13 to 34 and 35, which I have earlier on quoted, but I want to expand on it a little bit more. A new commandment I gave unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have loved one to another. Here we have a couple of pertinent points that I like to bring up. That is why I'm repeating this, referring to this verse again. A new commandment. In what sense is this commandment new? After all, we know that this is part of the Ten Commandments, that we love one another. But it is new in terms of the scope and the depth of that love and the tenacity and loyalty of that love. It is a new standard, and it is also a new command in that it is more binding. The Ten Commandments are not binding in the sense that they do not convey with the command the power to keep the command. But this is a new commandment because Christians are not just commanded or told to love one another. We are also given the capacity, or you can call it, we are also given the strength to love one another, to do so. And that is why I mentioned just now, it comes with conversion. Because here this new commandment is not just a teaching to tell us or to teach us to love one another. We are also given the capacity to do so. And then you know how? Through the Holy Spirit. So we are entirely responsible if we fail in our Christian duty. By conversion, by the new life in Christ, which was put within us at the regeneration of the Holy Spirit, Christian believers have that instinct and that desire to value each other and to have respect for each other. And if we honestly examine and ask ourselves if that is absent or you have no interest at all, then we have to go back a step further, or go backward to the first fundamental question. Are you truly a born-again believer? Have you been regenerated by the Holy Spirit? If we smother up and abandon it, well then, we are responsible. And we have to give an account on that day, because we've broken not only the command, but we throw away that power to keep the command in that in conversion is conveyed with it. It is a fresh commandment with even greater binding force in a sense. A new commandment I gave unto you, that ye love one another. Do we really take this seriously? We feel badly, and when we let our conscience speak to us, should we fall into this sin? Should we slip and slide? Should we make a dishonest excuse in an emergency and our conscience feels bad or badly? Yes, but if we talk the conscience to stay silent, we suppress the conscience concerning Christian fellowship. If we do not engage each other in Christian fellowship, when we make no effort to interact with fellow believers and coming up with all kinds of excuses and reasons that I cannot, I'm of this, I'm a quiet person, we should have the same conscience about this if we are truly believers. It is a command, and a special command of the Lord Jesus Christ, that ye love one another. On what basis? As I have loved you. It is a sacrificial love. But not only sacrificial love, it is also a sustained friendship, patient friendship, and a deep love for one another. Why? Christ went to Calvary's cross for you and for me. And so we should at least be ready to go out of our way somehow for each other in any number of ways. John 13 verse 35 is very challenging. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples. It ought to be that when unconverted people or unbelievers see the Christian church and the real affection and loyalty and care that believers have one for another, in their mind, that should authenticate the message of God and the changing power of conversion. When they see us coming together on the Lord's Day worship and seeing us working together harmoniously in unity in various ministry of the church, and perhaps unknown to us, they somehow notice how we get on with each other. Who are the people who come to this church? What spirit there is in this church? What ethos marks this church? This is a testimony to the name of Christ. And if it is right and true and genuine and real, it will authenticate the gospel message we proclaim. But if it is wrong or bad or fake, then it will bring disrepute to the name of Christ. And the authenticity of the gospel message go down the drain also. That is the meaning of John 13, 35. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have loved one to another. We shall look one more passage before we wrap up this subject. Let us turn very quickly to Romans 12, verse 9. Romans 12, verse 9. Let love be without dissimulation, without pretense, without hypocrisy, not putting on a show. Let love be sincere, opposite of insincere. There is a lot of put on love in our world, in our society, in our business world, and sadly in the church too. And this ought not to be found in the family of God's people. Then also look at Romans 12 verse 10. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love. The Greek translation there, kindly affectioned, literally means cherish each other, be fond of each other, be affectionate to each other or towards each other. In honor, preferring one another. The word translated honor means value, seeing other people more valuable than yourself. Oh, indeed, again, this is one area that is so missing in our church, in our lives as Christian, isn't it? We are so proud people, we value ourselves more than others. On hearing this, you may think this is hard teaching. This is a hard saying from our Lord Jesus. It's very difficult to practice. Well, it is true. It is true. But it is nevertheless a duty given by the Lord Jesus to the Christian believers. Therefore, in relating to others, whoever that person may be, the other person may not be as accomplished as you in many ways. But your duty as a believer is to respect that person who bears the image of God and relate to that person sincerely and before God, consider him or her to be more valuable than you are. That's the way in which, not a matter of proving or knowing whether the person is really not as accomplished as we are, but it is how Christian believers ought to behave or conduct ourselves as though the other person merited greater honor and recognition and esteem from God and from people than you. This is something believers have to strive for. Indeed, as I said, it is difficult. It's not easy because of this old corrupt nature still in us. But we have no excuse or reason why, as I said, it comes with conversion. And we have, through the help and the regeneration of the Holy Spirit, we are able to strive for, to learn and nurture as you mature in your Christian faith, this gift of Christian fellowship. These Christian duties in respect of Christian fellowship that we see in the various passages of the Bible so far, and other Christian duties, as I have not mentioned, are Christian duties or virtues that have to be cultivated and further established, increased progressively in our lives as believers. It requires prayer. And this principle is emphasized by the Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians 4:9. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you. I don't have to tell you more about it or explain to you. Why? Because it comes with conversion. For ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. 1 Thessalonians 4:10. And indeed ye do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more. Increase more and more in your cultivation of all these spiritual duties of this spiritual gift of Christian fellowship. Here is the great principle of progressive holiness, or progressively being made more and more Christ-like. If you are a true believer, if you have new birth in Christ through the regenerative work of the Holy Spirit, you will take this injunction from the Lord Jesus very seriously. You will put in the effort. You will want to seek the Lord's help in prayer to enable you through His Holy Spirit to fulfill these Christian duties. You will not want to make up all the excuses that you cannot. Of course, we are not saying and teaching here fulfilling these Christian duties perfectly 100%. Not perfection. We recognize that in and of ourselves, we are weak and we need to depend on the Lord's help, and this need to be cultivated day by day. Well then, for those who take these Christian duties as hard saying and that it is impossible to keep all these commandments, then perhaps you are getting too big for your boots. And perhaps you have not really known or have not really known who you really are in the sight of God. And perhaps you have not known what it is to be a Christian believer. And what it is to live a Christian life, a life that is pleasing and glorifying to God. And perhaps it may be you are not a believer at all in the very first place. You do not really or truly know the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior. You deceive yourself into thinking you are one. Dear friends, if this is true of you, then may I appeal to you to turn to Christ today. Run to Him and humbly plead with Him to save you from your sin and eternal damnation while you are given the chance. Now, I'd like to close with 1 John 3:14, very quickly. Time is running out on me. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. This is a very, very forceful verse. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. This is strong statement from the Apostle John. If somebody in the Christian church or in the Christian family is comfortable having no desire, no inclination of wanting to know or fellowship with fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, and not particularly interested in Christian fellowship, has no yearning or such a desire. Here from this verse, we can understand he or she is probably not saved. That is the meaning of the verse. He that loveth his brother, loveth not his brother, abideth in death. And this means spiritual death. Because it is an instinct for a truly born again believer to desire Christian fellowship and want to or desire to pursue it further. 1 John 3:15. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life in him. Oh, this is getting more forceful. The essence of these verses is this. If you can listen to this message or this sermon on Christian fellowship and come out of it thinking What a waste of my time. This is not important to me at all. This does not move me or challenge me. Then, my dear friends, it is plausible that you have not got eternal life abiding in you. Because upon hearing God's teaching or God's command, as a believer, we should be touched, be stirred, be moved, or with a desire to pursue Christian fellowship and to be friend with fellow believers. We should be fond of strangers, as the second verse tells us, be not forgetful to entertain strangers. It is a duty. It is a command. It is a blessing. Christian fellowship is a wonderful spiritual privilege and a great blessing. An old Puritan writer described Christian fellowship in this way. He says this, it is like getting together, or rather just getting together with fellow believers is like the cold winter ending and the sun coming out and the pleasant warmth of a real summer's day. It is indescribable. There is an ease, a pleasantness, and a happiness when believers are together. It is a pleasure of kindred love. It is friendship with the friends of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, dear friends, Christian believers, make time and effort for Christian fellowship. Do your part to sow the seed of Christian fellowship and water it and nurture it regularly with Christian love, hospitality, care, concern, and prayer. That is a spirit we ought to cultivate. Let us pray. Gracious, mighty God, eternal, loving Father, we confess indeed that we have fallen short of thy glory in this area. How we shame and dishonor thy holy name. Indeed, Lord, we confess that so often we are so cold to one another, have no interest or desire for Christian fellowship. O gracious, loving Father, indeed, Lord, may thou help us to reflect and to examine our own hearts, whether we are truly a born-again believer. O Lord, we pray for your Spirit to speak to the hearts of your people, that your Spirit will continue to work in us and enable us and help us, O Lord, we pray, that we may cultivate this spiritual gift of Christian fellowship. So hear this, our prayer, and help us, Lord, in this new week. For we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.